following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk. The reading is from Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'"
We've got some handouts to help us as we look a bit at that passage over the next 20 minutes. Before we do that, you've obviously heard by now that it is Mission Partner Sunday today. And I just want you to reflect yourself on what that makes you think. The idea of mission partners, the idea of mission itself, what sort of emotions does that bring about in you? Here's three things just to help get sort of your thoughts going. Firstly, I'd love to tell you about John Allen Chow. There he is, a picture there. This guy was a missionary. So a missionary is someone traditionally who decides to go overseas and tell people about Jesus. And he decided to go to a place called the Sentinel Islands, which is off the coast of India. And it's completely cut off from the rest of India, the rest of society. So therefore, they haven't had contact with people from outside for a long, long time. And he decided to go there and tell them about Jesus. And he went there, and he was killed by the locals when he went there to tell them about Jesus. And this isn't something that's happened ages ago. That happened in 2018. So it's a recent thing. There's one thing to think about. Another thing is to think a bit about university missions. It was great to hear about James going to do the mission in Newcastle and Naomi in Reading. University missions, that sounds great, doesn't it? I remember when I was in Durham at university, we had something called Rescued. This was a long, 10 years or so ago, a university mission week, and that sounded great. I remember very vividly finding out that some of the people where I was living set up an event at the end of that week called Rescued from the Christian Union, which was to celebrate the end of that mission week, because they really didn't appreciate that mission week. Or what about, have you ever, this is a very generic picture coming up that I just found on the internet, but what about when people come to you and say, "Oh, could you help support my short-term mission trip?" Do you think, "Great, I'd love to help you there," or do you think, "Am I just paying for you to go on a bit of a holiday?" What do you guys think about mission? Maybe it brings up some big questions. Here are three questions that I find myself asking that maybe you're asking. They're on your handout. First question, maybe you're thinking, why does it have to be like this? Specifically mission. Why does God do it so that in order for more people to become Christians, people have to go to these places and tell them about Jesus? It seems like quite a labor-intensive thing to do. Lots of effort involved. Lots of money involved. Isn't there another way it could work? I don't know if you know, but Buddhists, the way they spread Buddhism is they don't tell anyone about Buddhism. They just live their lives as Buddhists and wait for people to ask questions. And that sounds a lot easier. Would that be a much better way of spreading the message about Christianity? One question. Second question about mission, the idea of going to people and telling them about Jesus, persuading them that becoming a Christian is a good thing. Taking a step back, is that even fair? Is that right? Is that morally an okay thing to do? Does that impinge on their rights? What right do we have to go and tell people what you believe might be wrong? What I believe is right, and you should believe what I believe. That might make us feel a bit uncomfortable. That's another question. Thirdly, you might be thinking, well, what on earth does this have to do with me? When you hear about missionaries, people that are willing to go to the other side of the world, live a very, very different life and lifestyle than we're used to, we think, well, good on them. I'm so glad they're going. But we have a sort of category that is missionaries. And they're great, but they're completely different to us, and we can never imagine ourselves being in that category. If those are the sorts of questions that you're asking, that's great, and it's good for us to think about it. If we're going to have a Mission Partner Sunday, we want to think, why is it like this? Is it right? Is it fair? And what on earth does that have to do with me? And that parable that we read is really helpful to help us think through those questions. It's worth saying, we are not going to be looking at every little bit of it. You might have some questions about the parable. Very happy to chat to them, chat to you about those afterwards. But I want us to see just three things from this parable that hopefully will help us to think about mission, think about partnering in mission, and maybe answer some of those questions that we have. So if you have shut your Bible, page 990, we're looking at the parable of the wedding banquet. And the first thing we see from this parable is that God's kingdom is like a big party. So we see that, verse 1 to 2. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son." And back when Jesus was speaking, the biggest parties around were wedding banquets. They'd often go on for days. That was the biggest parties got. The best that parties got were wedding parties. And you can imagine who's going to throw the biggest and best wedding party. Well, it's going to be a king throwing a party, a wedding party, for his son. And I love imagining Jesus thinking, okay, how can I tell people what being a Christian, being part of God's kingdom, is like? What can I compare it to? I'm not going to pick sort of joining a club or one of those family reunions. I'm going to pick the biggest and best party that you could possibly imagine. It's also worth saying it would be the most exclusive party. If the king's throwing a party for his son, there's no chance we'd be able to be invited. But we can imagine it would be incredible. At this point, it's worth thinking, is that what we think being a Christian is comparable to? Often we think, it's not, it's maybe boring, it's not fun, it's just not that exciting. But Jesus says in this parable, what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, think of the most fun, the most amazing, the best, most exciting thing, and you're starting to go in the right direction. Becoming a Christian, being saved, knowing forgiveness, knowing a relationship with God, being part of a church, all of those things is the most incredible thing ever. And the first question is, well, that is an invitation for all of us. Have we accepted it? So, firstly, God's kingdom, what's it like? The biggest, the best party. Second thing we see is that the person who's throwing this party, he sends his servants with the invites to the party. We see that a lot. So, look, verse 3, he sent his servants to those who had been invited. Verse 4, then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I prepared my dinner. Verse 8, again, then he sent to his servants, the banquet's ready. But those that I did not invite did not deserve to come, so go, and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So in this story, over and over again, the king tells his servant, you go and send the invites out. If we are part of God's kingdom, that means we are God's servants. And that means we get the job of taking the invites to be part of God's kingdom, to follow Jesus to other people. At this point, I love to think of children getting excited about a party. And I'm sure you can remember, they love their party, and what they love doing is deciding who they're going to invite, and then the excitement of passing that invitation on to someone. And those children that get invited absolutely love the thrill of knowing that they're the ones that have been invited to that party. It's an amazing thing to receive the invitation, and it's a really special thing to be able to hand that invitation over to say, you're invited to my party. And this parable says, we get the job of saying, not you're invited to my party, but that you are invited to Jesus' party, to be part of his family, to be part of his kingdom, to know him as your saviour and your friend. If we're following Jesus, we get that job. We get that privilege and responsibility. Okay? So first thing, God's kingdom, that's like the biggest, best party. What an invite to receive. Our job, if we're God's servants, we get to give that invitation to others. But to who exactly? We don't decide who, but we learn that the invitation goes to everyone. So look down at verse 9. Basically, there's lots going on in this parable. Some people reject the invitation. So what happens? Let's go from verse 8. The king, knowing that people have not received the invitation, he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Lots of different responses to the invitation. But by the end, they are literally finding anybody they can and giving them the invitation and saying, come to this party. Remember what the party is? This is the king throwing a wedding banquet for his son, the prince, the heir to the throne. The best party, the most exclusive party. But by this point, the servants are giving invitations to anyone and everyone that they can find. What does that mean? The invitation that we get to give out to be a follower of Jesus is to go to everybody. And if you're not convinced that that is what this parable is communicating, later on, Jesus, before he goes up to be with God in heaven, he's talking to his disciples, giving them and giving all of us a really special job. It's on your handout, but let me read it out because it says that really, really clearly. It'll be on the screen as well. Here it is from Matthew chapter 28. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Do you see what we've been seeing there? He says to his disciples, and then this applies to us today, that you need to go and tell everyone, make disciples of all nations, all people, taking that invitation to them so that they can follow Jesus. So there you go, three simple points from this parable. An amazing party, that's what it means to follow Jesus. We have the privilege of giving that invitation out, and the invitation is to go to everyone. So how does that help us with those questions that we might be having about mission and about Mission Partner Sunday? That first question, why does it have to be this way? Why is it this faff, this effort of people having to go to different countries, different places, the money involved? Well, in one sense, maybe God could have done it a different way. I don't know what that would have looked like, but he has chosen to do it this way, to use us, to let us be part of his mission. And that's an amazing privilege. It's an amazing responsibility. Picture that child who gives that invitation out, with a big smile on their face. And they get to invite someone to a special party. And then times that by a million. And that is the amazing privilege and joy we have to take Jesus' invitation out and give it to others and say, you are invited to be part of God's people, to know Jesus yourself. I guess it could be a different way, but how wonderful it is that God says, this is the way I'm going to do it. To grow my kingdom, I'm going to use my servants and let them give out the invitations. But is it right? Is it fair for us to take this message to other people that might believe different things, be from different cultures, different backgrounds? Well, if it wasn't true, it would be. But it is true, and not only that, it's so good. What does Jesus compare it to? The biggest and the best party you could possibly imagine. And if everyone's invited, the idea that we would say, well, we're not going to take this invitation to this group of people. Well, actually, that would be the thing that would be wrong. Who are we to say that certain people shouldn't have that invitation? It's interesting, I've had the privilege of going to Uganda a few times and chatting to a few Christians there. And it's worth saying they have some big questions, some big objections to some of the things that have happened by the British in colonialism. But one thing they said was that they're so grateful to the missionaries who happened to be from Britain who took them the gospel. They don't object to that. That was wonderful. And in fact, now the church is growing. They're sending missionaries back because they want to be part of that as well and show the invitation, pass on that invitation to others. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do. It's not wrong. It's great to be able to show that invitation and pass that on to everyone, no matter who they are, where they come from. And what about that final question? What does it have to do with me? This whole idea of mission, telling everyone everywhere about Jesus, isn't that just for this certain group of people who are just a bit crazy and have the ability to do that? But for most of us, it's nothing to do with us. Well, to answer that, a few stats, okay, and a few little definitions, just to get us thinking on Mission Partner Sunday about how many people there are who maybe haven't heard this invitation. So here's a few things to help us think about. Hopefully you can see it. If not, I'll read it. First definition, unreached people group. Those are groups of people who haven't got that many Christians, and there's not really enough Christians for them to go and tell other people in that people group. That people group is from somewhere around the world about Jesus. How many people groups are there? Well, there are 7,189 groups, approximately, people groups, and that represents 3.42 billion people. Okay, that's a lot of people in people groups where there's basically hardly any Christians, and they need help from the outside, whether that's from people in a place like here or people in a place like Uganda or anywhere around the world. They need some help. It's a lot of people. Unengaged, unreached people groups. So that's a group of people from somewhere around the world who have basically zero contact with Christianity, and there's not really any Christians in that people group, and there are roughly 3,000 people groups. That's 290 people without any contact with someone giving them that invitation. There's a huge need. Lots and lots of people. At this point, it might just feel very overwhelming. And I always remember one of my favourite stories I learned when I was a youth about a beach. And there was a big storm and lots of starfish got blown onto the beach and they're out of the water, they're going to die. And a little boy, he goes out onto the beach, picks up a starfish, throws it into the water. There's thousands of starfish. Throws another one into the sea. And an old man comes along and says to him, there's so many starfish here. What difference are you going to make? And he picks up starfish, throws it into the water, and says, I made a difference to that one. And I think with all these stats, it's overwhelming. There's loads of people that we would love to hear about Jesus. That might feel overwhelming, but we can all play a part. What it means is that we all want to be involved in some way. That is the whole point of Mission Partner Sunday. We call it Mission Partner Sunday because we all want to be involved with partnering with people who can take this invitation to people. Whether that's some of those unreached people groups, whether that's people in places that maybe have a bit more contact with Christians but need more people to go, or whether it's people like Hywel in London reaching school children who might never hear that invitation. It's really important, and we can all be involved. Even if we're not someone who might go, we can pray for those people. We can maybe give some money to those people. We can find out more about them. And it's worth thinking, it's easy, isn't it, just to be like, okay, here's this category of crazy people. I'm not in that. But actually, they're not a special, unique people that can go. And maybe some of us today could be people that could go, or at least consider that. And it's not as crazy as we think. So as we finish, remember that parable of the good banquet. What does it mean to follow Jesus, to be part of his family? Think of the biggest, the best party. That's how good it is. And we get to give the invitations to invite people to be a part of that. Who do we need to give those invitations to? Everyone. And for us to even start doing that, we all need to be involved. We all need to partner with our mission partners as well as others. So for us, it's worth thinking, first of all, have we accepted that invitation? The invitation that Jesus makes possible by dying for us, coming back to life, so we can be his friend, be friends with God, be part of his family. What an amazing invitation. And what is our role in passing that invitation on to others that might otherwise never hear about it? What might it look like for us to partner? Maybe it means getting to know our mission partners. You can get to know who well he comes to our church. Chat to him, find out what's involved. How can you help, support, and pray for him? Maybe getting to know a bit more about the Odens that we heard about, reading their prayer letter, praying for them. Finding out more about mission across the whole world to people and to groups of people who otherwise would never hear about Jesus. And maybe it's thinking about, could we go? Maybe you could go on a short-term mission trip and find out more about them. If you haven't done a gap year, whether that's because you're still at school, or actually you finished school and there's still a chance to do a gap year, there's wonderful gap years where you can explore mission and be part of giving out that invitation to people who you haven't heard. There's so many wonderful opportunities, and we all want to be involved with partnering to make that mission happen. Let me pray. And then we will sing a song to finish. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this parable. Thank you that being part of your family is the best thing possible, better than the biggest and the best party. And thank you that we have the privilege of inviting others to be part of that too. And thank you, there is no one you don't want that invite to go to. You want everyone from everywhere across the world, no matter where they're from, how old they are, or who they are, to receive that invite and respond. I pray that off the back of state, you would help us be partners in that mission. And maybe there'd be one thing that we could do to be more involved, to partner. And would there be today some of us who you are raising up who could even go and be part of your mission, whether that's in the UK or even beyond? Please help us know what a privilege that is, what a joy it is to go and give that invitation to others. Amen.